Okay, Titus chapter 2, if you would, in your Bibles, Titus chapter 2. We will read our text for this morning, and then we'll ask the Lord for His help and get started here. Titus chapter 2, if you like titles for sermons, this is just the younger women. We're to the part of chapter 2 where he's going to have instructions for the younger women. And I'm thinking that this is probably going to take us this hour in family Bible hour as well, but we'll just see how it goes. And we'll move through these instructions, what the Spirit of God decided to say to these younger women. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 4, please. Now, speaking to the older women, he says that they, that's the older women, verse number 4, that they, the older women, would admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your word again. We thank you, Father, for the fact that the Bible is the one living book in all of human history. There's not one book that we could sit with it open on our laps this morning and have even close to the same kind of book in our hands. It's the all-time world's bestseller. It is inspired, breathed out from the living God of eternity. And we just give you thanks, Father, that you loved us enough to write us the perfect love letter. It's filled with reminders of your love and your compassion and your desire for us and what you, how you long to bless us. It's filled with everything we need for life and for godliness. Well, here we are this morning, Father, a handful of your saints, a gathering of people, and we have needs. Father, most of those needs are unknown to me, and yet here we stand with the perfect diagnostic tool sitting in front of us. And we ask, Father, that the Word of God would have its perfect way in our midst today. Father, we want to just ask that we would be humble before the Word of God. Father, it's sad, and yet, Lord, we really think that it seems to be a rare thing to come on a Sunday with the attitude, if the Lord shows me something in my life, then by His grace, I'm going to go home and make it different for His glory. Father, we ask that that would be our attitude this morning, that there would be such a love for the Lord Jesus in this place, that His bride, that His Christians, that His followers would be so quick to do anything that the Word of God would shine on their life that could bring Him more glory or pleasure. Father, we pray that You'd give me help as the mouthpiece, as the one that would speak forth the Word of God, that the Spirit would speak clearly and that You would just have Your way with this meeting. Father, we don't have any hope for any good coming out of any of these things without You. And with You, we can do all things. There's perfect hope. You're a God of revelation and a God of blessing. And so we ask for that, revelation. We ask for blessing. Father, we're just so thrilled to know You and to be able to look at Your book this morning. We pray for Your help, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So, Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, exhortations to young women. I mentioned this last week, and since it's in verse 4, I'll just mention it briefly one more time. That first little phrase, that they may admonish the young women. We've talked much about this phrase. It's the Greek word sophron, and it means to reserve the mind. And this is the active form of that verb. And so what it is that the Apostle Paul to Titus is telling Titus to go to the older women of the assembly and tell them to sophron, at least it's a form of that word, the younger women. And so I actually went and looked at it again because I thought, how does that make sense in English? That they reserve the mind, the young women, to love their husbands. But that's exactly what it is. It's an active sense of it. So they're actually molding the young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to reserve their mind for the things that are important. And so it's the older women that are doing it. Now, I would like to underscore this. Again, I stumbled upon something else in the Word of God that's brilliant. When it comes to human relationships, please notice how the Holy Spirit guided Paul to write to Titus, that there are things that young women in the assembly need to know. He didn't say to Titus, "Titus, you're going to have to go tell these young women all these things that they need to know." Please notice the brilliance of it. He said, "Titus, you're going to have to," remember the Greek word, the word in verse number one, speak. You're going to have to keep speaking, but talk to the older women. Keep reminding them that they have to go to the younger women. The Holy Spirit chose the older women to admonish, to mold, to shape, to bring into greater godliness the younger women. Isn't that brilliant? Yeah, because of sinful man, because of the sensitivity of relationships, in an almost ideal setting on a human level, I don't mean sinless, but in any assembly, the brilliance of this, I just love it, that these young women are to be ministered to by the women, boy, women in the group, older women, younger women. I hope that you're thoroughly encouraged by this. There is an essential ministry that the Lord has just for you in the assembly. There are people that if they came to me and they said, "Boy, I have a question," I'd say, "Okay, let's sit down right here and we'll talk," right? And as long as there's people in this room, then we can sit right down here and we can talk about the question. But there are people that can come to you, women, and ask so many more questions than they could ask me. And you could say, "That is a wonderful question. Praise the Lord. Let's go downstairs and find a classroom and we will look at what the Word of God has to say." Isn't that neat? And I just love it that this is how he being the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul to Titus, this is how he lays it out. The older women have this unique ministry in the younger women's life. Now, I would like to, in the spirit of this chapter, I would like to, exhort. I kind of want to use the word encourage the older women one more time to do these things. I know older women that refuse to do these things. They just will not. And really, when it comes down to it, much of the time, it's selfish. They won't put themselves out there where maybe a young woman wouldn't accept it. Maybe she wouldn't see it immediately. Maybe it would bring some form of criticism. They'll leave it to harder, they'll leave the harder things for other people. And so what I bring to your mind again is Paul's exhortation to Timothy. Keep speaking these things. Timothy was sent of God, and he was supposed to keep telling the older women, "Are you admonishing the younger women?" It's one of the things in this passage. Are you admonishing the younger women? Now, younger women, you can make this easy for the older women. You can make this incredibly hard for the older women. And the Lord knows my heart. I'm not trying to be hard on anybody. But I want to be fair with the passage too. I want to tell you exactly what it says. So young women, boy, I would encourage you, make it easy for the older women. Seek out the wisdom of the older women. Be open and receptive and humble and gracious if an older woman seeks to fulfill this biblical role in some way. And older women, in the same way that Titus was to exhort them, the Scripture would exhort you to do this work. Again, one more time. It means to make sane or sober-minded, to reserve the mind. It's not Titus that's going to be working with the younger women. It's the older women that are going to be doing that. Okay, first phrase here, verse number 4, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands. I have this as point number 1 in my outline, if you're following along with my outline, to love their husbands. Literally, it means to be husband lovers. The next phrase is to love their children. That one could be said the exact same way, to be children lovers. A husband is a lifelong relationship. Until death do us part. In that sense, there's very much a primacy about that relationship, an importance about that relationship. And that carries into a home. A husband should have a priority in the home for a wife to love. Even above children, in a sense. Not to the neglect of children, but as far as priority goes, I see it often, And Lynn and I have worked through many of these things in 14 and a half years, that if you're not careful with the busyness of life, the busyness of children, of jobs, whatever it is, that loving of a husband can really go away very quickly, as far as that being a real priority in the home. I know it's just a silly little thing, but even if we're getting ready for a meal, Lynn will consistently say, Daddy goes first, right? And I always think, yes, you know, king of the castle. And I know it's just the littlest of things, but she, in so many ways, she honors me. And our kids, we've even told them this, our kids are such a wonderful blessing in our life, an incredible blessing, really. But they're a phase of our life in that sense. I mean, the whole idea of children is that they will grow up and then they'll be shot like an arrow and then they'll have an independent life, right? Well, that husband-wife relationship, that's till death do us part. So it's to be kept in that priority and it's to be cherished in that sense. So the first thing that these older women are to admonish the younger women to do is to love their husbands. Second thing, to be children lovers, to love their children. A home where you've got a woman, and we'll talk more about this here in a bit, but a woman who's the despot of the home. She's the one with authority in the home. She's managing the home for the glory of God. And in a home where this woman loves her husband and loves her children, you would want every home to be that way, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you? You think about these precious little children created by God that don't grow up in a home that's anything like that, and you weep for them. Some of you that have done camp work, oftentimes halfway through a week or towards the end of a week of camp, you think, boy, I wish I could keep these kids. I wish I didn't have to send them back to the homes that they've told me about this week. You just long for people to have this, lovers of their husbands, lovers of their children. Years ago, I asked, I don't know if my wife will be glad I'm telling this story or not, but years ago I asked Nancy Rollinger at a workers and elders conference. I said, I would like you to talk to my wife. Could you find time to talk to my wife? And she said, sure. She said, well, what are you thinking? And I said, well, my wife has a wonderful mind for the Word of God. I could see the Lord using her possibly in a similar way to the Lord, the way the Lord uses you. And I just wanted you to encourage her to just, you know, not a lot of time, but just speak with her. She said, wonderful, right? So they get together, they have this little conversation, and I think it's the first time they met. I wasn't there, but Nancy Rollinger basically says, you're a young wife, you have young children, you need to see the Lord's primary ministry in your life right now, not to you, but through you, is loving your husband and loving your children. And no, I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't like thinking, how am I going to get my wife to do this? You know, I was more thinking something completely different. But that was her counsel to Lynn. And Lynn really benefited from that counsel. And Lynn told me just weeks ago, she said it's amazing how often she has conversations with young women. And now I know this is actually, it seems in our society, this is just kind of a segment of what we would call young women. But with young married women in particular, and Lynn says it's amazing how often it comes back to, are you really focusing on loving your husband and loving your children? She said it's amazing how often it comes back to that, and that's the challenge, and it fits perfectly with this passage. Keep speaking these things. Keep reminding the people of God. In verse number 4, love your husband, love your children. Third characteristic. Now we're into verse number 5. To be discreet. To be discreet. Now, once again, this is the Greek word sophron. This means to reserve the mind. So now we've had in chapter 1, verse number 8, elders are told to reserve their mind for the things that are important. In chapter 2, verse 2, older men are told to reserve their mind for the things that are important. I guess I'll leave that for later. I'll just tell you, the younger men are going to be told the same thing. It's an interesting theme that runs through this whole passage. He basically tells everybody in the assembly, reserve your mind for the things that are important. Boy, such an important point. In our society today, we have a million distractions, don't we? How come tent ministry, it doesn't have the same attendance today that it did 100 years ago? You put up a tent 100 years ago, that was the most entertaining thing in town, right? And so people would come out, if they cared nothing about the gospel, they would come out because something is happening. But today we've got a million things to distract our minds, and boy, it's hard to reach people, isn't it? That affects the Christians too. And so every category of people, the one category of people in Timothy 2, or Titus 2 that are actually left out of that specific exhortation is older women. But they're, in context, expected to create this characteristic in the younger women, right? And so how are you going to pass it along if you're not modeling it? So it actually just assumes that the older women will have this characteristic and be passing it along to these younger women. So to younger women in the group here, the Spirit of God has chosen to record this exhortation. Reserve your mind for the things that are important. What's going to matter in 100 years? Fill your life up with that. Don't be caught up with silly things, worldly things, temporal things, exterior beauty. And don't be focusing on these things, the Word of God would say. Reserve your mind for the things that are important. Okay, next word. Verse number 5, to be discreet. And then the next word, I haven't done a good job of giving you the points. Point 1 is love their husband. Point 2 is love their children. Point 3 is discreet. Point 4 is chaste. Chaste. That word means pure from carnality or modest. Is this a problem amongst the people of God, the modesty of young women? It is. Now we get into a topic where I'm glad that the Spirit of God decided that the older women should be the ones that are dealing with it, right? But at the same time, I've prayed more about this point than I have any other point coming into this message. What I'm asking the Lord, and what I've been asking for weeks, is how much would you have me to say as a mouthpiece of God teaching through this passage? And so what I've purposed in my heart is to say what I think the Lord has me to say. In the same way that the Scripture says, keep speaking these things in verse number 1, and then in verse 15, speak these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority, let no one despise you. That's what I'm seeking to do. Is just speak the things that the Word of God says. So, I'll say it again. Is this a problem amongst the people of God? Yeah, it is. Modesty of young women, younger women. We're not picking on you. The Spirit of God highlighted this for you, young women. He said, right here, he says that one thing that they need to be continually reminded of, keep speaking this to the young women through the older women, is to be chaste, pure from carnality. If you're dressing like the world is dressing, if you're taking your standards from the world instead of from the Word of God, that would be carnality. It'd be ungodliness, not godliness. It would not be modest. So I have a number of things that I'd like to lay out as encouragements. Number one, I would encourage every young woman in the room, and perhaps older women too, as you're involved in this process biblically, I would encourage you to ask the Lord, is there anything that you, if I would sit quietly before you in the quietness of my own heart, maybe in my own prayer closet, is there anything that you would show me that needs to be better about the way that I clothe myself for the glory of Jesus Christ? That's my first encouragement. Ask the Lord. My second encouragement, again, based on the context, is go and ask the older, godly, spiritually minded, admirable women. Now, again, I'm a guest here, and so it's kind of nice to be able to stand up and speak these things straight out of the Word of God and then leave them for the Spirit of God to apply. Who would that be? Well, I don't know, right? I'm a guest here. But I'm encouraging you to go to the older, godly, spiritually minded women that are good examples of a woman. We already talked about the older women. A woman who holds herself with dignity, right? a woman who knows that she's a priest of God and she conducts herself in that way and she holds herself as a priest of God as she goes through her life serving her God, loving her husband, loving her kids. I just love that picture of a dignified, beautiful in that sense, that godly sense, beautiful, dignified older woman. Go to them and say, is there anything that could be better about the way I dress for the glory of Jesus Christ? Older women, please tell them the truth. That may be hard for you to tell them the truth. You might even look at them and say, do you really want to know? And if they say, yeah, I love the Lord Jesus, I'm his bride, I want to honor him, is there anything that could be different? Please tell them the truth. It's so important. I see Christians lying to one another all the time when it comes to difficult subjects. That's why the scripture records, put away lying, not written to the pagans, written to the Christians. Put away lying, speak truth. It could be very, very subtle, our lies, our deceptions. So, those are suggestions. In my travels, I get to see and hear and think through and be encountered with a lot of things. I came across a younger girl that was new to the assembly. She had no idea what the head covering was. She was trying to kind of figure out the head covering. She came into an assembly, and she'd only visited a couple times, and she saw the women wearing these head coverings. She's trying to take it all in. She looks at 1 Corinthians 11 for the first time. She's looking at covering in the scriptures. She's thinking all this through. She's zealous about the things of God, and she made this comment. She wasn't defensive. I so appreciated her attitude. She said this. She said, what difference does it make if those women cover their heads if they're not willing to cover their breasts? It's a rather striking statement, isn't it? Is that a problem amongst the people of God? It is. The Spirit of God has chosen to highlight to young women the need to be pure from carnality, modest. Boy, if there's an area I guess I would call it temptation for young women to not heed the warning of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Do not be conformed to the world. If there's an area that would be really difficult for young women, perhaps this would be way up there on the list. Because of who young women are, how the Lord has made them, this would be a hard one. Do not be conformed to the world. Be pure from carnality. Be modest. This word, chaste, it has reference to their thoughts, their acts, and their demeanor, the way they conduct themselves. Again, I know of a specific assembly where the young wives in the assembly don't want their husbands talking to one of the young women in the assembly. Why is that? It's the way that she acts, the way that she conducts herself, the way that she clothes herself. They're not comfortable with it, the way she presents herself. Reference to thought, act, and demeanor, whether in look, speech, or even in dress. I know a young man that was working his way through his education, and he had a break, and he went, oh. Right? This is often what we do during breaks. I still remember this feeling, a month off at Christmas in college, right? And then you get a job and you think, I should have a month off at Christmas, right? Or you get used to this. You go, oh. Right. Well, this young guy's working away and he's got a break. What am I going to do with my break? It's just a short little break. And so he flew off to a conference in New York and was very excited to attend this Bible conference. He came home upset. What was he upset about? He was so looking forward to getting out of the world and going to listen to the Word of God being taught, fellowshipping with other young people that were passionately seeking the things of God, a time of spiritual refreshment. He was upset at the way the girls were dressed that weekend. Now, I wasn't there. I have no idea, no ability to judge it myself. I just observed that this young guy, seeking to honor Christ, seeking a haven from the world, didn't find what he was looking for. This is especially honorable in an ungodly age. If you choose to conduct yourself and clothe yourself, act, talk, all of it in a way that the scripture describes, that is all the more beautiful and admirable in the ungodly age that we live in. With the world being like it is, it even stands out stronger in that sense. Al Mohler is the president of the Southern, if I'm getting the name right, I think it's the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. It's the most popular Baptist Theological Seminary in North America. His wife, Mrs. Al Mohler, is quoted as saying this: "Don't blame the men around you who happen to be unfortunate enough to be within sight and say they have to get their mind out of the gutter. Proverbs 30:20 says, this is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wrong. Ladies need to remember what battles men face to stay pure as they are stimulated visually by women. They should never have it flaunted in their faces, and to have it done at church is an abomination." Isn't that good? Boy, I think that's good. That's an older woman ministering to younger women. Miss Joyce Baranowski, that some of you might know, she's been asked to minister in so many different kinds of settings, and my wife heard her one time and really thought, amen, that's a good standard. Miss Joyce says, to young women, she says, anything, any kind of flesh or form, the two F's is what she encourages young women to think through, flesh and form. Again, enough about that. But older women teaching the younger women how to conduct themselves. We're going to come right back to Titus, but would you go to Romans chapter 14 in your Bibles for just a moment here? There's a principle here in Romans chapter 14 that is directly applicable to our subject here. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 12. So then, each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Boy, that's good, isn't it? Now, I would like to say here, very much would like to say, if men sin, they will stand before God and give an account of that sin. 100%. I wouldn't withdraw from that statement at all. If it's a sin, if it's a man's sin that is the problem, that is his problem before God. Then I'd also like to say, if women are provoking sin, if women are stumbling their brother, to put it into this Romans 14 context, they will have to deal with that before God. So there's an aspect of this that is very much the man's issue to deal with. Amen. And then there's also an aspect that the Spirit of God has chosen to highlight in Titus chapter 2 that's the women's issue to deal with. And that's just for the sake of being honest with the text. That's what we're working through here. So again, verse 12, each of us shall give an account of himself to God. You're going to have to stand and give an account. This is one area, young women, that you will give an account of. Verse 13, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Boy, isn't that good? Isn't that heart good? I don't want to eat a steak if it's going to bother my brother or sister in Christ. What's more important? That I see my brother and sister zealously, passionately going on for God and pursuing the things of God. Is that more important? Or the fact that I could go down to a market where meat that's been offered to an idol is being sold and I have every biblical right to eat that steak? What's more important? That I eat the meat or my brother or sister? That's the point of it. I love the heart that would say, I don't care about my freedom. I don't care about if someone at a university would chuckle at the way I choose to dress. I don't care about that. I care that I conduct myself in a way that my brother, my sister, will not be stumbled as they press on in the things of God. Now again, verse 15, Romans 14, verse 15. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food, the one for whom Christ died. Boy, that's good, isn't it? Boy, that's so good, that principle. You could just put your clothing in that and read right through it. That's the principle. Do not destroy with your clothing the one for whom Christ died. Boy, that's so good. So, are you dressing the way you dress would be the question, because this is what Jesus Christ has told me is the most honoring way that I can dress for him. Is that your motivation? Are you dressing that way because I would not ever want to be guilty of stumbling one of my brothers or sisters in Christ? Very often our standards are far more about us than that. Would you be willing to agree with that statement? Very, very often our standards are far more about us. If we were to be honest about it, it comes down to, I have my standard because of me. I want to appear in such a way. Now, I have a boatload of things that I'm not saying on purpose. I have a lot of things that I would be happy to say, but this is what I, in however limited ability I have determined before the Lord that I should stand up and say. I'll let the older women do what this passage says. Now, take it up and apply it and use it. Every one of us, as followers of Christ, should have the privilege and the right to come to the local assembly, the local chapel, and not be defiled by one another, period. Let me give you another example. I know a group of young Christians, again, I see this as a growing problem, that socially drink. I would very clearly put what they're doing into the category of 1 Peter chapter 3. They are attending drinking parties. They're parties characterized by alcohol. There's a young Christian man that is friends with them and would very much like to be a part of it. In fact, at one point, this young man even thought about living with them. And he told them, before I was saved, I had a real problem with alcohol. It is hard for me when you guys sit around and have drinking parties. That's hard for me. It tempts me to go back to the way I used to be. And you know what those young men did? They said, if you have a problem, that's your problem. You prove to me from the Word of God that what we're doing wrong. Well, that's easy right there. Your heart, right? That's the problem. I mean, leave the malted liquor out of the discussion. Your heart is what's wrong. If you're not looking at a brother and saying, you are of infinitely more value to me than any one of my freedoms or Christian liberties, your heart is wrong, right? Now, do you see the application of that to Titus 2, the young women being chaste, pure from carnality or modest? That's the heart of Jesus Christ. I will give up my freedoms. I will give up my privileges. I will give up the external manifestation of my glory. I will give up whatever for your benefit. That's the heart of Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm glad to have a Savior like that. What a blessing to have a Savior like that. If I have offended you, I have certainly not intended to offend you. If you want to be mad at me, I would be far more okay with that than I would you not hearing what the Spirit of God has to say to you. That's what I long for, is for you to hear what the Spirit of God has to say to you. The Spirit of God has chosen with young women, this is something that they need to be reminded of. Anyways, that's my goal. The Lord will tell me someday whether or not I did a good job. So, our time is up. So let's close in prayer for this session, and we'll pick right up here in Family Bible Hour. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you, Father, that it's very blunt. There are portions of the Word of God that I would blush to read from a pulpit. It records the errors of your people. It records horrific things. It records, it just records reality, Father, what we need to hear. And I pray again, Father, that for the glory of Jesus Christ and for the blessing of these dear people that are deeply loved of you, I pray, Father, that that your word would be abundantly clear today. I pray, Father, that the Spirit of God would show the needed application of your word. Father, I would like to go ahead and pray for this particular local church, that the older women would be willing to have this ministry that you've given for them, that they would in fact be willing to be honest, that the younger women would be humble, that they would love the Lord and then hence seek after the older women with a humble heart, willing to pray about the counsel that's given, willing to prefer one another in love, willing to have standards that are those standards for because of other people, not because of them. Lord, we just want to be honest and humble with your word as a whole. And we pray, Father, for our particular topic today, that you would just use it, Lord. I pray, Father, that this assembly would be a place where Jesus Christ would be so incredibly exalted. I pray, Father, also that when the King of Kings looks down at the Bible Chapel of Shawnee, that he would just be overjoyed to watch his bride loving each other, pressing on together, seeking in every way that they can think of to honor one another and to honor him. Father, I pray that this would be a place of teaching, a place of safety, a place of godly counsel. I pray, Father, that it would be a wonderful haven from the world. Father, we sang it this morning, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And Father, we have to be very diligent or the world creeps in. We become like the world if we're not awfully careful. Father, I also ask for grace. We read in Romans 14 that we ought to stop judging one another. Father, it would be an ungodly application if we left a message like this and just started consistently thinking critical thoughts of one another. Father, I pray for the grace that we'll need to let the grace of God work with other brothers and sisters in the body. I pray for the wisdom to know when to speak and when to be quiet. That's the wisdom and tact that Jesus Christ had. And if we're not awfully careful, we can fall way short of that too. So, Father, we just lift up our group, this group, to you. And we thank you for the time we've had to look at the Word of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.